house on a Wednesday night. Amen. Thank God for the desire to come to the house of God. I can't say I've always had that in my Christian life. I'd be lying to you if I did. Thank God it seems like He's always got something to help us. And I'd like to announce, first of all, about Saturday night, remind everybody about the couples ministry at 6:30. Remind you to bring a dish, your members. Have your dish there about 6:15. We'll lead at 6:30 and we'll teach immediately following. Have a good night of fellowship. I challenge you, if you hadn't invited some people, you've got, today's Wednesday, you've got 2.5 days to go to invite. I've got somewhere between 3 and 5 couples that I think are pretty sure going to be here. I've invited more than that, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be here. I want to challenge you to do that. I think the Word of God tonight will give you reasoning for doing that too. You got your Bibles tonight? Turn with us to the book of Galatians. And let's look in one verse in chapter number 2. I'll read one verse for the text, and then I've got several other verses of Scripture. I've got so many that I've got them typed out here, and you really don't have to try to keep up with me tonight. I'd rather you listen and see what God's got for you tonight. Now, Galatians chapter number 2 in verse number 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, if we could just get that down, it'd help us, wouldn't it? Somehow or another, when we get saved, we get in the house of God, we can't get over the fact that it's no longer about us, but it's Christ that liveth in us. You know, we all yield to Him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You may be seated tonight. Title of this teaching or preaching, whatever the Holy Ghost wants tonight, is what kind of love do you have? I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of love do you have? When it comes to the church house and Christ living in you and Christ living out of you, what kind of love do you have tonight? And I want to, first of all, I'm going to have to do a little bit of, you may consider it boring English work or word study, but we've got to do that to get where we're going to get tonight. I want you to understand, first of all, that in this New Testament and in this word loved in this Scripture, and in this Scripture where it says, for God so loved the world, this word is translated from the Greek word agape. That's important for us to know that. And this agape is different from other types of love. The whole essence of this agape love that the Bible's talking about here, it is a self-sacrifice. It's a self-sacrificing love. For God so loved the world that He gave. He sacrificed. He gave His Son and He sacrificed Himself on a cross. They didn't kill Him. He gave Himself. You know, and that's an example. You know, we really shouldn't even have to have an example. If we could just yield to the Holy Ghost, if you're truly born again, there's a seed that liveth in you, for it's Christ that lives in me. He's inside of me. And you know, it's up to me whether I yield to that and whether I feed that thing that God's put in me and I let that come out. But that kind of love shouldn't just be an example, which He did leave a great example. That should be the desire in that part of you to save, you know. I realize we war against, you know, we've got a seed inside of us. That's the heart of man. That's the spirit. That's what God saved. And we've got another part that's called the flesh, and we have fleshly desires that we must sacrifice. We must crucify those fleshly desires and not let them take reign over that seed of Christ that lives in us. And also, then if it's not enough that we have to fight the flesh, we have to fight our mind. Because our mind's not saved and our body's not saved. And we're not going to take neither one of them to heaven. It's our spirit. You see, it's that part of you that when it gets real good in the house of God and you hate to go home, that's the part that's going to heaven. You see, that part that wants to sin and do those old things that old man used to do, that part ain't getting the glory, folks. It ain't going there. And that mind that the devil gets in there and just runs you crazy and has you thinking that nobody loves you, everybody's against you, why, you might as well forget it. Preacher, you might as well give up. By the time you knock that wall, we ain't going to need all those seats. That's the part. It ain't going to heaven neither. So what we must do is we must find a way to feed that inner man, that part of that agape love that God put inside of us. And if you're born again tonight, you have agape love. I don't have to teach you how to love that way. You see, Brother Ken, we've got enough counterfeits nowadays. We've got enough people that sit on the church pew every time the doors is open and they've learned how to mimic. You see, they've heard just enough preaching and they've looked at just enough preachers and Christians that they're mimicking this agape love. But you see, this agape love is such a true form of love, it's going to come out in somebody, Brother Felton, even somebody as rough as me and you. I mean, somebody as bad as me, somebody that's got maybe sometimes such a hateful attitude and a smart-aleck attitude, Brother Ken, that agape love is going to come out because Christ Himself planted it inside of me. You see, it's Christ that liveth in me. You know what we can do? We can let our flesh reign. We can let our flesh control our walk. The Bible says, walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. You see, it's our choice on whether we do that or not. And we must feed that seed inside of us, but what we do is we feed our flesh. We want to do something against God's Word or against God's will, we just go right out and do it. And then, or maybe our mind, somebody comes and tells us something and we just feed off of it. Well, we go home and think about it. You know, let me tell you something. When you hear something negative about anybody, what you ought to do is you ought to get down and pray. And you ought to plead the blood of Christ on your mind and on your body. You don't have to plead it on your soul. That's taken care of. You see, if you save, you go into heaven. That thing's sealed. It's a done deal. But if you ever going to let agape love come out of you, you must learn how to plead that blood of Christ on your body and on your flesh and on your mind. Or your mind and your flesh will drive you crazy. It won't just drive you crazy. It'll drive you. You see, we ought to be driven by that love that was put inside of us. It's this exact same love that God had for us that He sent His only begotten Son. You see, Brother Felton, we're supposed to have that exact same love toward each other. And not just toward each other. Not just, I made a statement today, you know, we ought not just love, if we belt shoppers, we ought not just love the folks that shop at Belt. We ought love the folks that shop at Dollar General too. Yeah, man, I shop at both of them. Belts is on sale, I go to Belts. I go to Dollar General on a regular basis because I know they got a good deal. Amen, so I'm both of them. Well, I love everybody the same. It shouldn't matter whether they got a bald head with a tattoo on the top of the head or whether they got everything combed back, long sleeve, dressed right. Don't make no difference whether they're black or white, amen. Don't make no difference as long as they ain't Muslim. I can't go to church and worship with a Muslim. I'm sorry. You say, well, brother, you don't have the love of Christ in you, do you? They don't have Christ in them. I won't go there. I don't even want to get there. Listen to this. This is agape love. This is a self-sacrifice. We must give up our mind and our flesh to things we want for ourselves. Listen to this. Listen right here. This word is unlike our English word love, because our English word love covers a whole multitude of things. And unfortunately, this English word love most of the time is a sexual love. Now this word agape, I said it's a self-sacrifice, it's a selfless kind of love. And if Christ lives in you, agape love will eventually come out. Now there's also a Greek word for that physical love between a married couple, and that word's eros. And did you know that that word eros is never translated in this Bible? And you'll never find that word in here. It's not even in there. You see, with young couples, what they do, Brother Ken, I'm afraid, is what they do is they fall in love with a physical love. And they try to continue in a physical love. You see, and that word's not even in your Bible. That word agape love, you say, well, I'm going to marry you the same kind of love God married me. You see, I'm engaged to Christ. He's taking me no matter what I do. No matter how I turn out, no matter how good I do or how I fail, Brother Kevin, I'm His. And that's the kind of love we ought to have for one another. Well, there's another word that is in the Bible out of the Greek word, and I hope I'm not boring. Am I boring y'all this? Y'all okay? I sure don't want this to be boring. This Greek word phila is used, and it is it's a kind of relationship that refers to a brotherly love. A friend. You know, the Bible says how friends you must show yourself friendly. And this is important. But you know what? We ought to have more love for one another than just a friendly love. We ought to have that, first of all. You know what? This is going to come out a little bit in my teachings on Saturday nights. God just kind of, He offsprung this off of my teachings and turned it into a message for the church house. But listen, if young couples would first of all learn how to have an agape love, and then a filial love, that eros love would take care of itself. You see, us coming together as a couple should not be a direct, the direct result in that should not just be that physical love, that eros love. Us coming together, young couples, old couples, like it ain't too late for you, you ain't dead yet. You need to learn how to come how to be friends. You need to learn how to be friends with one another. Have a brotherly kind of love. I mean, Big G's my buddy. No, we ain't perfect, but I'm gonna tell you something, we got a lot of it figured out. We buddies, we're friends. And I love her with agape love. I don't care what she does. I don't care how she messes up. I hope she don't care how I mess up, brother. Evidently she don't. She's been with me a long time and I show her messed up a lot. But you know what? And then sometimes that physical love comes from that. It's a result of it. It shouldn't supersede the marriage. Well, let me tell you what, alongside with this eros love, and there's a form of that in a Christian love that too many church members are trying to get in the house of God, trying to see what they can get out of it. God didn't save you and put you in this house right here to see what you could get out of it. Just to get you and your little bunch saved. Get comfortable and wiggle you out of a little old nest and just praise God until the Lord comes back. Sounds good, don't it? But that ain't the only kind of love it is, you see. There's an agape there, for God so loved the world. Now, Brother Ken, how can we say we love as Christ loved if we don't love the world? If we want to keep this to ourselves, how can we say we love as Christ? You say, well, I'm happy with what we got. I'm happy with the little crowd we have here. I'm happy. I don't care about knocking any walls out. I wonder how many people you've invited to church. See, for God so loved the world, didn't he, Brother Jerry? Brother Felton, God so loved the world. Lord have mercy. I look at some of you in here that somebody else shared their love, that agape love with you, and now you're here. Now you're a blessing to me. And that's the way, you know what? That's how every one of us got here. I was one of the original families, Brother Kim, but I don't make me king of the hill by no means. God put me here to be a blessing. He didn't put me here to see what I could get out of it. He put me in here where I could have an agape love, where I could share it with you and my prayer every time is, God, when I stand, please let me be a help to somebody. God, let them see your love. Don't let them see Dennis and none of his skills or anything that I might have come up with over the years. But God, please let them see the love of Christ in me. And let me encourage them to carry on. You know what? It ain't such a big deal to carry on if you don't think too much of yourself. Did you know that even when, I'm going to tell you something, storms and trials and troubles and fires, they're hot, they're powerful, they're not fun, but let me tell you something, the way you get through it is you realize it's not about me. God has a divine purpose for everything that comes your way in your life, and you must look for Him during your circumstance. Getting off course. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to finish this. I'm just going to try to get to about the time limit and quit. That'll work. Don't matter. Why not? I have to have enough pride to think I ought to have to get all my points out tonight, Brother Ken. Why don't we just follow the Lord and see what He wants for us? You know, see, so first of all, I didn't even tell you point number one, what we've been talking about. It's a giving love. What kind of love do you have? Do you have a giving love? You know, I'm afraid most of us have a getting love. You know, teenagers aren't in here tonight, but there's a thing going around with young boys, and used to hear it when I was a young boy. If you love me, you will. And that's still going on now. It goes into our marriages. Well, Vicky, if you love me, you'll scratch my back. You know what? I'm not supposed to look at it like if Vicky loves me, I love her to scratch my back or my arm, anything. My head. I like attention. I like petting and tinkering. I like her tinker with me. I don't care what it is. It don't make no difference. I like for her to touch me. But you know what? I shouldn't be in that relationship to see what I can get from her. I'll be thinking about, I'll play with her hair at night sometimes. She loves for me to play with her hair. So instead of thinking about how I can get my back scratched, I'll be thinking about how I can play with her hair. You see, because this agape love is a giving love. Are y'all following me? You see, in your marriage relationship and your thing at home, you shouldn't be looking at it for what you can get out of it. You should be looking at what you can give. And I'm going to tell you something. Once you learn this thing about giving in love, you'll see a whole new world out there. I think you're going to begin to see the world that God has intended for us. Well, how God intended for us to live. He intended us to be a giving kind of love. And when it comes to the church house, I mean, you know, think about our pastor. One of the best examples I can think of a person in here. If Brother Ken had a taking love, if he just had a taking love, why would he sacrifice so much of his time for this church house? Why would he sacrifice so much time for you? Why would he stop by my car a lot when my life's falling apart to come by and sit down and talk to me and check with me? And he's probably got studying to do, probably done got 200 texts that day and about 40 phone calls. Why would he do that? You know why? Because he's looking to see what he can give instead of seeing what he can get. Comes by and says, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Instead of coming by and say, well, I got something I need you to do for me. You know, and I wonder how we approach the house of God. How we approach our marriage relationship. How we approach our relationship with Christ. Are we constantly praying and asking Him to help us when we only have need in our life? Do we forsake our altar when everything's going smooth and then when we're getting a trial that we fall down and cry and squall and say, give me, give me, give me, help me? How about wonder what God might do for us if when things was going to look back better, if we get down and say, Lord, how can I give to you, Lord? Tell me a way I can give to you, God. Tell me a way I can be used, Lord. You young couples, you can get in, you can pray in the morning, say, God, please send me somebody to invite Saturday night. God, send me somebody. I can do something for you, Lord. I want to be a giving Christian. I don't want to be a taking Christian. The best thing you can do for your home and for your church and for your Christian life is to be a giver of love instead of a taker. I won't never get there, so I'm going to go ahead with one of the last points I've got tonight. This agape love is a mature love. It's selfless. I didn't say selfish. Selfless. The more mature you are in any kind of a love relationship, whether it be with God, whether it be with your husband, your wife, whether it be with your children, whether it be with your church, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be that lost one out there on a street corner that don't know Jesus, the more mature you get about it, the more selfless you're going to become. You see, you're not going to mind giving up your time. Oh, no. I remember Brother Ken one weekend. We had three couples. Vicki and I had three couples to counsel. And I told somebody, I said, praise God, I got three couples to counsel this weekend. They said, you don't have no time for nothing, are you? You know what, Brother Ken? I can honestly say that one time, I didn't even think about what I was doing that weekend. I didn't think about what I could get out of the weekend. I thought about what I was giving, Brother Randall. You see, and somehow or another, this thing works magically, you see. If I see what I can give Vicki, and then she in turn follows my example and sees what she can give me, all of a sudden, Brother Ken, I begin receiving things that I didn't even ask for, Brother Kevin. And if we come to the house of God with the right kind of agape love, to give things, to see what we can give to the cause instead of what we can get, all of a sudden there's going to be somebody else that's going to be turning around and giving us, and we reap benefits from it. You see, it's a giving love. You know, agape love puts up with all things. It hopes for the best. It endures whatever comes along. So, do you have a giving love? Next question I'd like to ask you tonight is, do you have a greater love? A greater love. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you that is in the world. Skip down to verse number 10. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. You see, God wasn't even selfish. You see, most of us, we're brought up as little children. We give everything that we want. Not just what we need, we give everything we want. We grow up and we turn into adults and we still think everybody ought to give us everything we want. All we learn how to be is selfish. We're surrounded, Brother Ken, in our churches, you know that, by people that are just pure selfish. One of the biggest problems I've seen in counseling married couples is selfishness. They care more about themselves than they do that when sitting next to them. That's a major problem. And people say, well, I know I'm selfish. And why would you want to take pride in being selfish? Y'all be praying about it every day. God, help kill my flesh. God, help crucify this flesh. God, the selfishness in me. God, help me to be a giver instead of a receiver. Ain't that the problem with America too? Everybody got their hand out. If they take that hand, turn it around and put it to work. I'm still saying amen, Brother Mike, preaching on that Sunday night. I've been saying amen all week to that. Amen. Wish they'd put that part on national television. On every channel, even the ball game channels. ESPN, Brother Mike Rollins preaching about going to work. I say it work. I say if a married go to work, this economy would take care of itself. Problem is, we're spoiled and selfish. You see, somebody gave us a job for 8 hours a day, giving us about 4 hours of work, and we get mad if they want five. And we already paid us twice as much what we're worth. Amen. Then you lose that job, and you won't take a job for half of it, what you're really worth. And you wonder, whoa, woe is me. Now all I can get is a job making half of what I made. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know why you're getting a job half of what you made? Because God knew you was working half the time. You see, God's a just God. So some of you may have a job now making half what you made because you wasn't but half a worker to start with. Your boss don't control your paycheck, son. God does. Your boss don't control where you work. He don't control the economy. The Obama don't control. God does. I say our whole problem is we're selfish. But see, there's a greater love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen to this. Beloved, this is you, the saved, born again. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Wow. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. There's a greater love than just God loving you so much that He sought after you. Sent the Holy Ghost of God to convict you of your sins, save your soul, put you in a fine church as Liberty Baptist Church. What a love! That's worth shouting about right there. Amen? That's a wonderful love right there. But let me tell you, a greater love than that. A greater love than that He saved you and put you in a place called Liberty Baptist Church whereby you can go out and return the same kind of love He gave you whereby He saved you. He didn't save you to sit on a pew. Brother Randall, He saved you where you could go out and love somebody else just like He loved you. Then them folks will come to the house of God and they'll get born again because of how God loved you. Because how God loved you, you're going to try and love somebody else. And some of you in here ain't never loved nobody else like that. You think it's the preacher's job and you think it's the Sunday school teacher's job. It's your job. God saved you to share the same love that He saved you with. I've got a fault to confess tonight that I'm over. Praise the Lord. I've always been against a numbers thing. My pastor has too. Sure. Always been against it. Always been against going out and giving flyers and knocking them down with a Bible at Walmart and dragging everybody in the house of God. I said, that ought to be God's work. But you know, Brother Kim, when God finally showed me that I was to love by the same love that God got me, you know what? I can't help but tell somebody else.
Absolutely.
Maybe y'all need to hear it from somebody besides your pastor. That wall out there ain't being knocked out because Brother Kim Bowman is number hungry. And because Liberty Baptist Church wants to be the growingest, as another fellow told me about the growingest Baptist church in this area, it's so we have got room to bring those in once you finally get it down to you and realize that God meant for you to share that love with somebody else. I say that, I'm giving this for example because that's what we do out back. If nothing happens, I think I've got 3 to 5 couples coming. And if I can do that busy as a man as I am, what about these other 35 couples that are faithful to Liberty Baptist Church? Well, if you've got that many coming. All right, out of all those couples, what if one of them you invited over 6 months, their family finds a place right here in this house of God? That's about 35 families. How are we going to fit them in here? The rest of y'all, they ain't even in that class. You need to be listening too. If we get those 35, I mean, I'm pretty good in math, Brother Ken. That fills that new section slap up. Well, I figure we got another 35 couples that don't come to that class. So y'all get y'all's 35 in, we're going to need that other side knocked out. Well, I just don't know about all this adding on and stuff. You know why? Because you don't know about the love of God. So you done forgot about how much God loved you and what He done for you. You see, I just read you the scripture where God tells us that same love He gave us, we're to give it to one another. And it also says that if we are saved, we will do that. We'll love one another. Not just, and I told somebody today at the car lot, I said, one of the greatest services we have to me is when we go around neck hugging and squalling. One of the greatest things we can do is love one another. What would happen? Woo! I got a good friend that's supposed to be here Saturday night. He's having some medical problems right now and he's tender. I told him, Brother Ken, I said, I'm going to text my preacher buddies and tell them your name. Tell them to pray for you. I know I won't embarrass him. His name's Bill Kent. I want y'all to pray for him. He's got some medical problems. God got him tender, gave me an opportunity, Brother Kevin. I've always loved him, but he gave me an opportunity to read a love on him. Kind of like that special service we had around here, Brother Kent. Show that old boy I love him. You know what he told me today? He said, we're going to be there Saturday night. He didn't say, well, if nothing happens, we'll be there. And if something may happen, he may not show up. But let me tell you something. God's working on that old boy. Because I didn't have no literature to give him. I just loved him. Loved him with the same love that God loved me. God still, He loved it. He's still loving me. He's still loving you, you knotheads. Some of you sit here like a knot on a log. Makes me wonder if you've ever been saved. I ain't trying to judge, but I'm sitting there thinking, man, they sit there and they never move. They never shed a tear. Never see them get up and go hug on nobody. They stay on this side of church, they stay on that side of church. They don't even know people's name on this side. Y'all come here and meet some of these folks every once in a while. Knotheads. You didn't forget about how much God loved you. That's what your problem is. You know why you got dead about it? Because God done saved you. You sealed. You go into heaven if you born again. But you forgot all about His great commandment that you love one another. You need to carry that same love out yonder. And if you can't love one another in here, you forget about loving them out there. Although sometimes they're more lovable, Brother Ken. A greater love. Do you have a greater love? Do you love people? Yeah, there's some folks I can't stand. I'll be honest with you. Some folks I just don't whoop them and look at them. I'm just being honest. I ain't one of these little sissy preachers that say, well, if you just love everybody, you'll never have an angry feeling towards anyone. Now, my Bible says be angry and sin not. You see, I've been mad enough to tear somebody up for anger, Brother Kim, but that Holy Ghost of God said, Ank, boy, you fixing to ruin your testimony. Say, Ank, boy, you want to preach? Or you want to set up the highest wonder if God's ever going to use you again? Oh, yeah, Ank. You see, that's part of that greater love. It's perfected in us. Listen, what kind of example did Jesus set for us? What did He do? He forgave me of my sins. I don't know about y'all, but He forgave me of my sins. That's a pretty good example, ain't it? Now, what kind of love have I got? It's not a greater love if one of you offend me and I won't forgive you. Oh, I wish everybody would listen to this. I'm going to park it here for a second. If one of you offend me and I can't forgive you, what kind of love is that? That's the same kind of love they got out yonder. That's the same kind of love the religious crowd has. Which, matter of fact, they may have had a little bit better love than that. There's some religions that are afraid not to forgive and do right because they're afraid they'll go to hell. What kind of love is that? Christ forgave me. I got to forgive you. If Christ's going to forgive me, the Bible says I've got to forgive you. He not only forgives me as an example, He forbears me. He puts up with me, Brother Randall. Vicky's got to have Jesus in her because she puts up with me. Brother Ken, you got to have God in you because you put up with me right here for 16 years. And I know I've bumped your noggin a few times. And the same goes to a lot of you in here that's been going to church with me for a long time. You got to have the love of Christ in you because you ain't gave up on me yet. And some of you never will. I know that. Brother Lee Wiser, you pray for me if I got out in the world. If I got out of church, you'd still walk up and hug my neck and squall over me. I know that. That's the kind of love. That's agape love. You see, agape love, us church members, we won't just love those that show up on Wednesday night. We'll love those that show up once a month on Sunday morning. We got a hit and miss couple right here in this church that God has really dealt with me about because I'm going to be honest with you, I had absolutely no pity for them. They'd come up every time they come by once every 4 months. They hit the altar and want everybody to come pray for them. I quit going and praying with them. I said, bless God, do they really want help? God's done changed my heart, Brother Ken.
Sure.
He said, what about you when you forget to pray?
Right.
When you forget to study? When everything's going smooth, you and you call up in work and you call up in your hobbies and your love and your interests and you forget all about me, what I do for you. You see, if we got agape love, we're going to love all. Not just us regular bunch. And well, my goodness, we all be able to love each other. That might be why they not regular. Maybe they require more love, Brother Ken. My Bible teaches me there's some that are weaker. Some not as strong as me. There's some of you that don't have the desire to come to church that I have. So why should I beat you over the head because you don't have that desire? I'll be loving on you and praying for you that God give you that desire. And by the way, just because you're sitting on a church pew every time the doors open ain't no sign you've been saved. That don't mean you're born again just because you're here every time. Amen. Brother Jonathan Manese told me one time, he said, hey neighbor, anybody can load up and go to church. Don't get me wrong, you ought to be here. And if you're faithful, God's going to bless you for it. You're going to get a lot of things for your life that these people that are hit and miss are not going to get. And they're going to look around and wonder why God's blessing you and wonder why you're rejoicing so much because they've missed out on what you're getting. They're undernourished. It's a greater love. 8:15, Brother Ken. Okay. I can't remember if it's 8:15 or 8:30. It's a given love. Do you have a given love? John 12:34 says, I think I preached most of this anyway. I'm going to go through this real quick, his last couple points. A given love. A commandment is given you. John 12:34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, we've already talked about that. That ye also love one another. There's a new commandment. You know, we think new commandments is not listening to rock music and not watching the Flintstones and quit dipping and quit drinking, quit cussing, and all that's all good and well. The greatest commandment is that you love one another. You say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit my chewing. I'm going to quit my dipping. I'm going to quit wearing my short pants. I ain't. You got it? You know what, Brother Ken? I said I'm going to work on. I'm going to work on this greatest commandment that we love one another. I'm going to try myself best to be a more loving kind. Brother Kevin Brown, I've always admired you, son. Brother Kevin, don't ever say a whole lot, but not knocking none of the rest of y'all in here, but God's always had me look at that man out there. Boy, I wish I was as almost as loving as what he is. Maybe God get me that way before I'm gone, Brother Ken. It's a giving love. You know what? It's a dead giveaway love. Verse number 35 says, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Not that I've got anything to prove, but I will tell you this. I'll use me. If I'm the kind of person, people, that's always against somebody. If I'm the kind of person that's always got a problem with people, and it's always them, and it's always their fault, and I can't get along with anybody, bingo, I need to be saved. Not judging, but listen, this scripture right here, this word of God right here discerns people. It's also a growing love. And I'm going to skip over this last part. You know, the Bible says several times in it, thou shalt love, thou shalt love. This word, this phrase is active. Agape love is active. It's not passive. You know, the world came up with this thing about falling in love. There's some truth in it. I know some people fall in love. There's been some people that's come to this church house and fell in love with it the first time they came here. Some of you probably saw your wife or your husband the first time and you knew it. You knew that was it. And I'm not totally knocking that, but you ought not build a relationship on that. You shouldn't build a relationship, a marriage relationship on that. You shouldn't build a church relationship on the fact that you fell in love with somebody. Because I got news with you. As you fall in love with somebody, there's going to be times you're going to fall out of love with them too. You see, you're going to fall out of love with the church house. And if you're not founded where you ought to be and you don't have an agape love, you're going to walk out of this place. Because there's going to be times where the enemy is going to deceive you and get you to believing that you don't belong here and that you ought to scat and you ought to get out of here. And if you have that falling in love kind of fairy tale kind of love thing that everybody's always looking for, guess what? First time things get bad, you're going to hit the road. Same thing in a marriage relationship. This falling in love thing is way overrated. You see, falling in love is a very immature love, and this agape love is a very mature love. Listen, I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with falling in love. That's all right. They ain't got nothing in this world against falling in love. But falling in love will not sustain a relationship. A romantic, as everything's going good and everything's going wonderful. And I like them times, buddy. I like it when it's good. I like it when I can't wait to get here at the house of God. And I come in, boy, I'm prayed up. And I'm ready to go to a meeting, glory to God. But let me tell you something, them things won't sustain me. If I got the right kind of love, them times when I don't feel like being here. And them times I walk in and say, well, where'd God go? I guess I better be looking for me another church. Let me get out the yellow pages. Spiritual churches. Liberty had a dead service Sunday night, so let's see. You see, that's the same thing. Y'all see what I'm saying? It's the same thing with some of you young married couples. You had the big wedding and spent all the money on that 15-minute ceremony. I had to throw that in. I'm sorry. It's all fairy tale land. Your husband come got you and grabbed you and threw you up on a white horse and y'all just galloped away. Went on a honeymoon to a place you'll never be able to afford to go again. Oh, ain't life this lovely, wonderful? And all of a sudden, you had your first fight. And I mean, it's about one of your mama's daddies. I won't never be able to forgive him for that. You see, the thing about it, if you found it on that kind of romantic falling in love, and it's good to have that. You ought to work on that. You ought to develop it, and you can. But if you're sustaining a relationship based on that, you're going to fall out. You got divorce wrote all over your relationship. And let me tell you something else. If you're sustaining your relationship with God on how you feel every time you come to the house of God, you've got church divorce wrote all over you. Might as well go ahead and preach some of y'all because you probably won't be here in 6 months. And I hope y'all are. I really hope y'all are. I hope every one of y'all. I hope you can get enough Word of God tonight that you'll never leave this place. It ain't about how I'm being treated. And you all treat me right, Brother Kevin. You ought to. You shouldn't mistreat me. And then Brother Joe mistreat me. And then Brother Joe mistreat me. And then this brother here mistreats me and mistreats my youngins. And I get all tizzy and I ain't going to church no more. We all love one another. But that shouldn't be what sustains us. It should be that love of God that was implanted in our heart that sustains us. I'm hurrying. I think I'm doing pretty good on time. See, y'all don't know how far along I am. I'm just right here at the end. I am. Let me ask you this. Do you have a grown love? A grown love. That's what you ought to seek after. This immature love is not an agape love. It's selfish. I said before, and we did get there. I said we're going to get there. But this mature love is agape love, and it is selfless. I wonder, as a whole, let me tell you something. If one part of this church falls, I fall. If this church ain't right, I'm not right. Same thing about you, it ought to be that way. But I wonder, the Liberty Baptist Church as a whole, what kind of love do we have? What kind of love do you got? You just got that kind of love when everything's good? Can you love your wife when everything ain't bad? If she makes you mad and she gets in the last word and y'all not speaking to one another, can you still reach over and kiss her on the cheek before you walk out that door? That little kiss on the cheek might change y'all's whole week. It might change your whole life together. You see, when it's easy to love, anybody can do it. But when things ain't going good, that's when it takes an agape mature love. Brother Ken, that's sometimes you got to say, I'm sorry when you didn't even do nothing. Sometimes you just got to be the one that gives in. What kind, individually speaking tonight, what kind of love do you have? Y'all stand to your feet. Don't want a